Well, I was hoping we'd just keep on singing. I'm going to have to get up here.
You go ahead.
Well, anyway, during the day I was thinking about, you know, when the Lord's coming back for us and how everybody's saying it so soon and, you know, by the times you can, everything that's going on, you can tell. And it might sound silly, but I was kind of hoping it'd be today. But
I am too.
Anyway, I don't know why you do this to us. Get up here.
I love it.
Okay. During these last few months while we were there in Lagos, I have some things that the Lord's been dealing with me about, and I'd like to share with you in Matthew 26:39. It's just here where Jesus is praying, and a little phrase here where he's praying, it says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And that last part there, where he says, "Not as I will, but thou wilt." And there came a time in my life when, I got saved and started off right and everything. And then I didn't want to do what the Lord wanted. And I got to where I wanted to do my will and not his. And I didn't want to live for the Lord. And after a while, I thought that I could just keep on living my life and forget, you know, about the Lord. But he kept putting into my mind, you know, I couldn't get away with it. I had to face God one way or the other.
Amen.
And anyway, I decided one night back then that I wanted to live for the Lord, and I wanted to get my life straightened out, and I wanted to get it right. And this really helped me, because when he's praying, he says, "Not my will," you know, "I don't want to do my will, I'll do your own." And this is what I want for my life, and I want it for my family as well. And another thought is in 2 Corinthians 9:7. It's talking about giving your money. But one day I was thinking about that, and it says, "Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver."
Amen.
And I started thinking about this, and I thought, well, I know it applies to money, but we could also apply it to our lives personally.
Yes, amen.
And in everything that I do for the Lord, I want to do it cheerfully.
Amen.
And there's times when one of the things in Lagos, cleaning the church. I get there and I don't want to clean it. And I start doing it and I'm irritated about it. And then I start thinking, well, you know, what's the use of doing it if I'm going to be mad about it or irritated? You know, why don't I just change my attitude and get it right?
Amen.
And that's been helpful to me, to the things that I do, to do it cheerfully.
Amen.
And also that my girls can see the difference. And I talk to them all the time about the things that they do, that if their attitude's right, it'll make it a lot easier. And I don't want to just always tell them what the Bible says, but do it as well.
Amen.
And Something else is in Ephesians, all of chapter 2. I like this whole chapter a lot, and it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we're dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity of even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And reading this first few verses, you know, we're talking about us being away from God, and that we were living in our own lust and everything. And I started thinking there, and when we're in Lagos, we go out and pass out tracts, and last night some of y'all that saw the videos, you saw the streets crowded with people. And one time when we were passing out tracts on the highway to San Juan de los Lagos, I was sitting there and I was watching all these people, and I thought, well, they're all going to this church there to go see that virgin. And just a thought that came across my mind was when it talks about the bottomless pit, you know, and the road's wide. And that's a thought I had. And it was really sad that I thought, you know, how sad that is that all these people are going. And I thought, well, even if we could just reach one, amen, you know, it's worth it. And all that the Lord's done for us, he gave his life for us, and he chose us. And by doing that, you know, there's nothing that we can do that's good enough or that's too much for the Lord. And if it means us being on the mission field or being here or praying or whatever it is, to me, it's just, there's not enough that we can do, amen, for what he did for us. And to me, it's a pleasure to be there in Mexico. There's times when I want to be back here and come back, but that's just when I'm down and discouraged. But, you know, when we take our problems and look to the Lord, all those problems just fade away. And I want to be there in Mexico. I want to be there helping my husband. And for my kids, I'd rather them marry a missionary or preacher, not a doctor or anybody, but I'd prefer for them to be missionary wives.
Amen.
And I want them to grow up, and if we spend all our life there in Mexico, I don't want them to think that it's a terrible thing to do. I want them to think that it's something joyful and, amen, that they can look forward,
amen,
to.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.